Wow. Thank you. It is a privilege and an awesome responsibility to stand up here and speak about something so precious to us all, prayer. And I am at the moment feeling totally inadequate to the task. So depending on whether you get anything from this depends on the quality of your prayers, because it's not going to be down to me. That's just blame shifting. We're in this series called Drawn Not Driven, and we spent several weeks looking at Jesus' prayer for his disciples and all the believers, the prayer in John 17, and we've been endeavouring to catch his heart for what he desires for those who follow, for what he desires for us. And it's that we would know that we are in Christ and that he is in us. And then last week, Andy brought us a very, very interesting, very challenging message around the subject of steps to losing your faith. And if you weren't here, please listen online if you possibly can. He talked about that process of how people fall away from that being one with Christ, that relationship with Jesus. And he identified a disturbing principle that people rarely make that choice to not believe, but by a series of small changes in behaviour, move away and detach from their relationship with God. If you do listen online, though, be aware that Andy did it in a very creative way. Those of you who were here will know what I'm talking about. But, of course, you can't see the little demon horns on the internet, can you? So what Andy did was talk in the manner of the Screwtape letters, as if he were Satan training a junior demon. So that comes through on the internet. If someone didn't know that and they listened, they would wonder what on earth the teaching was here at Maybridge Community Church. So he was very creative. This morning, as Steve said, I'm going to be talking about prayer, but I thought, well, how can I follow that creative inspiration of Andy? So I've got something here to show you. And this amazing invitation to be part of a partnership of God in prayer. A few weeks ago, I was here in this school with a team of people, and we'd been asked to set up and lead a sort of prayer experience for the pupils. And it was a bit like Godspace. If you've been down to the Strand and been to Godspace, where we had zones, and they're creative and very visual, to help the pupils engage with prayer. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Some of the pupils were very sceptical. They didn't really want to be there. They didn't believe in prayer. But it was part of the RE lesson. And it was quite amazing, some of the journeys that some of those pupils went on. But one of the zones had one of these in it. I don't know if you can see this. I'm not a scientist. And you might not be able to see this, but I think I've skipped a few, sorry. I do all this PowerPoint, and these poor guys have to catch up with where I am. But here we go. This is it's a plasma ball. Anybody seen these before? Yeah. Now we've got scientists over there, so forgive me, I might not get this right. I think it's an electrode surrounded by noble gases. Does that sound right? I'm looking to you, Nat, because you know these things. I don't know what a noble gas is, but it sounds very posh. Oh, he's a noble Gus.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it. And we had this in one of the zones. And I was talking to some of the kids. The boys come straight to this. Because it looks technical and it's in there. And I don't know if you can see, but whilst it's just there, there's all these strands coming out from a centre. And I said, this is just giving us a little visual aid, a picture of what prayer might be like. God is speaking all the time. God is speaking all the time. His heart's desire is to be in communication with his creation. He is speaking all the time. And when we pray, that's me putting a finger on it like that, it's like it opens up a channel. If you can see, it makes a connection. Would anybody like to come and have a go? Go on. Engage with the child within. Come and... Now, why am I not surprised? Engage with the child within.
I'm offended.
You're not at all. Put a finger just on there. Do you know, I'm really glad I didn't wear that cardigan this morning. I've got one just like that. Right, so there you go. So can you see? It makes a connection. And it's like when we pray, it's that conduit that opens up with God. But then, you've already discovered, if more than one opens up, not only are we connecting with the center, but we're connecting with one another as well. And it's fun, yes. Prayer is fun. There you go. If you can take that image back with you, you can go now. Yes, thank you. So that was my visual aid, and talking to the boys, and the girls, but mostly the boys, just talking about prayer being that communication with God and connecting with God, and that our prayers in some way open up a conduit between us and God, and also when we're praying together, we can have that one mind. We can be linked with what God is saying and doing as well. So that was what we did. And the feedback we got from the boys and girls who went round the prayer zones was really very encouraging. One of the things that... we're going to go back to the Luke one, sorry. This is where I was. We've got this awesome privilege of prayer. And I just want to read this scripture as we get into this subject. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And at that point, Jesus introduced his friends to the form of prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. And he began to teach them various things about prayer, about attitude in prayer, persistence in prayer, the importance of forgiveness, and also an instruction about asking. And that's where we're going mostly today, about asking in prayer. And this... visual aid, have that in mind, that prayer opens the conduits and gives us that invitation of God to participate in prayer. So it was a bit of fun to do with the plasma ball, but it is trying to give us that, sometimes we can get things when we see something visual. And it's hard to understand this whole dynamic of prayer. The key aspect of prayer that I want to talk about is that asking. And there are lots of scriptures about asking. Ask and it will be given to you. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. You do not have because you do not ask God. These are all scriptures. I want to ask you, when you read all of that, when you hear it said, how do you respond? What's going on for you? Are you enthusiastic? You go, yes, I believe it. Are you inquisitive? Not sure about this? Are you skeptical? Yeah, well. When I first came to faith, I struggled with the whole concept of asking. A lovely family. My parents loved me very much, and they cared for me very well. But they were not Christian. They were not in faith. But they were also quite of their generation, and you do not ask. The whole principle of asking was impressed upon you. You don't do it. It is rude to ask. If there's a plate of biscuits on the table, you wait until you're offered one. You do not ask. Anybody else had that sort of, yay, we're of an era, aren't we? You do not ask. You certainly didn't make a list at Christmas of the things you wanted. That would be a serious no-no. You're a good girl, you sit quietly, and you wait until you're offered. So when I came to faith, and I discovered that my Heavenly Father wanted me to ask, I struggled. It took some convincing. But over the years, I have been encouraged by wonderful people around me to engage in this adventure of prayer, and it is an adventure. And I am getting there, and I'm thankful to people who have inspired and encouraged me. But asking prayer raises all sorts of questions. It seems to me that there are two polar opposite responses to the scriptures that invite us to ask. The first is up there, surely not. And that sort of stems from a school of thought that says, God is sovereign. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. He knows ahead of time what will happen. Everything happens according to his will. Therefore, to ask God for anything is to presume that our prayers can change God's mind. Do you get the logic of that? You can understand that. Surely we shouldn't be asking, because to ask God would mean we change his mind. That's one far extreme of the spectrum. The other is, it's my absolute right to ask. I am a child of God, I'm an inheritor, and I can ask, and I will ask. And it's an asking style that in some circles can be described as name it and claim it. Don't know if you've come across that, been there. I was telling Breakfast Church, I was in New Zealand some years ago, and we went to a church, and the minister was preaching, and he was talking about prayer, and he said, do you want $1 million? Father God wants to give to you, so just ask, have faith and ask. If you don't have faith for $1 million, ask for $500,000 and ask twice. Yeah, it was just so out there that I think you just knew, no, this is not what asking is about. But there is that school of thought, that far extreme. So there's the surely not, I shouldn't be asking, and the I'm going to ask because it's what I want. I've found C.S. Lewis to be quite helpful, particularly with the first group. He wrote quite a lot on prayer, and and he was pointing towards the mystery of God that challenges us to hold in tension a number of what appear to be opposing scriptures about the character of God, to hold those together. It is a challenge, you know, that we can't grasp in its entirety the whole character of God. But C.S. Lewis talks about, yes, God is sovereign, yes, he has a plan and purpose for the world, and yet he repeatedly invites us to pray, to ask in prayer. And it does seem from Scripture that people have spoken to God and he has changed his mind. There are a number of times in the Old Testament where God has appeared to change his mind because of the things that people have asked him for. And Abraham is one of the classics, you know. Surely if there was just but a handful of righteous people within that town, you would not destroy it. And God appears to change his mind. Lewis, though, this is the bit I found helpful. He suggests that we be creative in the way that we think of God. And he said, imagine that the world is a work of art. The world is a play that is in the process of being created. God, the playwright, allows his characters, you and I, to affect the play itself. He incorporates our actions into the final result. Each scene and the general outline and the end of the story is fixed by the author. What an answer to the first group of people, the surely not. The second group, this is my absolute right group. I go to a scripture that is in James's letter. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you might spend what you get on your pleasures. It's not enough simply to ask, even though, yes, we are children of God, heirs and inheritors with Christ. Luke records a parable that Jesus told of two people going into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, one was a tax collector. And the Pharisee is described as very assured and confident. He knows who he is, and he's there, and he has expectations. Whereas the tax collector, he stayed at a distance. Jesus said he didn't even look up to heaven, but was calling on God's mercy. And Jesus said, it is this man, the one with humility before God, who will go home justified. So we've got between these two extremes of surely not and it's my right, a wide and diverse adventure of prayer, where the Almighty God, the Sovereign Lord, our Father, invites you and I, his children, to shape events of an unfolding story. But we come not with the arrogance of it's my right, and not with that distancing ourselves and fear that we might change God's mind. We come with both humility and boldness. I came across this little sort of soundbite, if you like, that can we have the next one, please? That describes asking prayer as coming before God on two knees. The knee of humility and the knee of boldness. Right? There you go. What we need to do is position ourselves on both knees. Because if we position ourselves on one or the other, we wobble. I like that. Asking prayer is coming before God on both knees. A knee of humility and a knee of boldness. Boldness is about knowing that who we are in Christ. Knowing that, yes, we are the children of God. Knowing that we are invited to ask. But it's a boldness that is balanced by humility. Humility is becoming more like Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says Jesus, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Humility is a choice. We put on humility when we do not consider ourselves more highly than we all ought. So we're invited to come in prayer boldly and humbly, to ask God, and our asking has the potential to change things. Now, I don't know if you're here for the first time and whether this is new for you, and you think, well, I don't know, I don't really get this stuff about prayer. I just encourage you to continue to be open and listen, because I think God takes us all on a journey of exploring this adventure of prayer. So whether you have been, you're in the prayer warrior and you pray day and night, or whether you're just beginning to ask questions about, so what does prayer do? Why do we pray? How do we pray? It is a journey. It is an adventure. I know that if I were to ask, there'd be many of you here who could give amazing testimonies to what God has done in prayer, in answer to prayer. I just want to share one little thing with you, just to unpack this idea of prayer. I was reminded of this incident a couple of days ago when I was having lunch with some friends. And a member of the church I was in, she became very ill very suddenly. One day she was fine, the next day she felt like she'd got a bout of flu. By the end of the day she was in intensive care, extremely poorly. Her condition was becoming very difficult to stabilise. Eventually she was on a life support machine. We gathered the church together to pray. But I have to say, we were very much like the disciples. We don't know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. We waited on God. We knew what we wanted to pray, but we didn't know how. How do we break in? How do we connect with God in this? It seemed such a huge thing to be asking for. And as we waited and we asked God's Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray, we came to a place where we, one or two amongst us, were stood and boldly asked for healing. At the end of the evening, we went home still asking, continuing to ask. In the morning, we had a message. During the previous evening, probably around the time we were praying, something had happened. A significant change had happened, and they'd taken the lady off the life support machine, and she was breathing on her own. By the end of that next morning, she was out of intensive care and on high dependency. In a couple of days, she was on a general ward, and by the end of the week, she was home with her family. It was an amazing answer to prayer. But as I tell you this story, and I could tell you others of amazing answers to prayer, I need also to be very honest with you and acknowledge that there have also been times when I've sat with people I know and love and the prayers haven't been answered in the way that I thought they ought. I remember once going to a John Wimber conference, and I sat down to next to this gentleman. It turned out that we had got a connection, and he was asking how things were going, and I just said, I don't know why I'm here, because it seems like every time I pray for someone, they die. And I don't know why I'm here. The gentleman stood up on the platform, and he said, some of you are wondering why you're here. Because when you ask, when you pray, the people you're praying for healing for, they get worse, and some of them have died. And my colleague sitting next to me looked at me and said, this is why you're here. Because what I was beginning to understand in this adventure of prayer is that I will have big questions of why. Why not? And why did this happen? But nevertheless, God asks us, invites us to pray and keep on praying. I have a principle I want to suggest to you. A few weeks ago, we had Michael Harvey here, and he was encouraging us to take up the challenge to be bolder in our invitations, to invite people to come to church, to come to a social event, to come to something. And Michael acknowledged that inviting is difficult because we fear rejection. We fear that we will do more harm than good. We lack confidence. We've tried it before and the answer was no. And we set up all these obstacles of why we don't. Good reasons. But Michael's challenge was for us to become an invitational church, not just for the yeses, but for what we become in the process. So I want to suggest a similar principle for us in asking prayers. I think it's another slide. I think so. Not sure. As a principle in asking prayer, that we take hold of this amazing God-given privilege of prayer, to partner with Him in shaping His unfolding story, to pray on the two knees of humility and boldness, to ask and keep on asking, not just for the yeses, but for what we become in the process. One of the zones we had in the school prayer experience was big questions. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? Well, they were children, and they asked some unusual questions, as children would. But some of them asked some very deep and challenging questions. And at the end, at the feedback time, one little lad put up his hand. And we'd asked, what was your favourite bit? What did you find the most helpful? And he put his hand up and he said, the big questions. And that was a bit unusual. So we said, why was that most helpful to you? And he said, well, I haven't got answers. But it was good to ask the question. Good to have the opportunity to ask the questions. See, in asking the questions, we're connecting. We're opening that conduit. All of our prayers are effective in the way it shapes us, in the way it shapes the unfolding story. I don't have answers for why some people are healed or some circumstances are totally transformed by our prayers. But I do know that God has invited me into this privilege, this adventure of prayer, and I will go on asking humbly and boldly, because that's what He requires of me. That's what He's invited me to do. We have a list of heroes of faith in the New Testament, and not one of them saw the answer in their lifetime, but we are their answer. We are their answer. None of our prayers go wasted, but we are invited to be a conduit for God entering into circumstances. Now, we have a choice, a bit like the invitation thing. We could say, yes, I've asked before and it didn't work, so I'm not going to put myself through that again. We've been discouraged. Or we can say, God has invited me into this adventure and I am going to take courage and I am going to go on asking. Let me just ask you, whose voice are you going to listen to? Your voice, or maybe even the voice of the enemy who says, don't do that. You've tried it once. You might make things worse. That's discouragement. Or you're going to listen to Father God, who says, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. We have the opportunity to connect with God and be a conduit of his power and his love. I don't have answers, but I know that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son to save, transform, rescue, redeem his world. And I want to be a part of it. I'm going to pray now. It might be that this is something that you're exploring, you want to find more about. If you're new to the Christian faith and you do want to know about prayer, I've got a few of these books, Try Praying. Come and ask me and I'll let you have one. We haven't got many, we've got more on order and they'll be here next week. But if you have been walking in faith for a while and you've been discouraged or disappointed or confused in prayer, let me pray that God will open things up for us now as we worship, as we draw near to him, and ask that he would help us see the discouragement from where the root of that discouragement, and let us hear his words that we can be strong and courageous, for the Lord our God is with us. Let me pray. Lord, we want to own before you, sometimes we have been arrogant in our asking, almost demanding, but we've not asked from the right motives. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your compassion, your love, that you would open your heart towards us and help us to pray humbly and boldly. Lord, forgive us when we've made excuses for not asking, our fears, our disappointments, our discouragements. Lord, we ask that you would wrap those all up and remove them from us, because we are your children and you invite us to trust and you invite us to obey, and we want to be involved in this privilege of prayer, this adventure of prayer, and see your world and the lives of those we know and love transformed by your power. Help us, Lord, we pray. Amen.